So, is it on? Yes. So last night at our Christmas Eve candlelight service, we sang Silent Night. And that's a very nice Christmas song. I like it a lot. And I especially like it when my wife sings it in German. That's the language that it was originally written in, and it was later translated into English. So that has a very special meaning in our family. So the words go, Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. So we trust that is true in our lives, but if we're honest, we might have to admit that sometimes Christmas is not always calm for us, whatever we're going through, whether it be hectic or troubles that are on our mind. I saw a poster the other day that had a picture of a little kid. It was standing in the forefront, and he was pretty young. And you could tell he had a smirk on his face, and he just had that rambunctious look about him. And in the background, you could see that it was Christmas time, and there was a Christmas tree, and the adults were standing around, and they had this kind of frazzled look on their face, and the everything was just completely torn apart. And wearing a T-shirt, the little kid in the front said, the T-shirt said, "All is not calm." And so I think we have to admit that oftentimes Christmas can have a lack of calmness. I remember one time we traveled to California to visit some relatives, and we had a transfer, a connecting flight in St. Louis, and the flights were being canceled all around us because it was snowing so heavily. And we were racing from one counter to the next, trying to find another flight out. Ours was canceled, and finally we found one, but we had this picture in our minds of sleeping in the corridors of the airport, on Christmas morning. So that was kind of a troublesome time. And we learned that soon after that our flight took off, the airport was closed, and a lot of people were stranded in the airport. And we experienced a similar time. We went to Germany to visit relatives, and one of the flights we were on was a wide-bodied 747, and we were landing, and it was snowing heavily. The runway was clear, but we pulled off into the taxi area. We got stuck in a snowbank, and the pilot had to call for a tow truck to come in. He was rocking the plane back and forth, and you could hear the engines revving up. We weren't moving anywhere. And then finally, just as the tow truck was pulling up, the plane broke loose from the snowbank, and we were able to get into the terminal. And we learned from that flight also that that our flight was actually the last one before they closed the airport. So we've had these, troublesome Christmases, and maybe having a family get-together can be troublesome for you. There's always Uncle So-and-so who has to convey his ideas politically, and he throws his 2 cents in. And it usually comes out more like $49 worth of, and he's not only just throwing in his 2 cents, but he's trying to feel like he's got to obligate everybody to follow his politics. And so you know what I'm talking about. And then there's the gift-giving aspect. Aunt So-and-so, she just, it's very hard to find a gift for her. And you work hard on searching for the right gift, and she goes, "What do I need that for?" She's just not appreciative, not having the right reaction. I remember when I was a kid, watching a kid show every day. This was back when the TV was black and white. This is before color TV was invented. So they had this ad on TV for a model train set. And I just had to have that. You know, I was a little kid. And so so everybody in my family knew what I wanted for Christmas. It was a very intriguing ad. The train was going around, and it had little people popping out of the station, and there were model trees and buildings, and it was just very appealing. But what I didn't read down at the bottom of the screen, it said, accessories not included. So then the mailman, this was before they had FedEx, the mailman delivered this package, and I thought, ha, I know what's coming. And my mom hid the package somewhere, and I thought, okay, I know what's up. I know what I'm getting for Christmas. And sure enough, that's what I got on Christmas morning. I was so excited to open the box. And I looked at it, and it was this kind of cheap plastic thing, and it just hadn't met my expectations. And I was playing with it in the living room, and the chimney broke off, and I was all upset. So in the Trotter household, it was not a calm Christmas morning. So we can name a bunch of things. I'm sure you can too, that do not lead to that Christmas calm, as you might say, or the Christmas rest, that Christmas peace. Each of these things we mentioned can lead to a lack of rest, a lack of peacefulness, a lack of true contentment and satisfaction. So the question is then, what is true Christmas rest? Where do we find that peace? Well, in Matthew 11:28, as we've read, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Then he goes on to say in verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And I think we need to emphasize that word, souls. And then in verse 30, it says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So just a couple of notes on this in verse 22 and the verse 28 rather, and the surrounding passage. I don't believe Jesus is talking about physical work only here, because if you look at verse 29, he says, "Take my yoke," and then he says, "You will find rest for your souls," as I've mentioned. So notice he doesn't say, "Take my yoke upon you, and then you will find rest for your body," or take my yoke upon you, and then you will have relaxation and your muscles can rest. So I think the focus is on when he says, "You will find rest for your souls." So then the next question is, how do we find rest for our souls? Jesus is talking about being weary. He's talking about being burdened. But the other question we have to ask then is, from what are we being burdened? From what are we feeling a sense of being weighed down? What makes us feel weary and worn out and exhausted? So if he's not talking about physical labor only, then there must be something else that is causing us this grief and robbing us of the joys of life. Something is oppressing us, and something has become a heavy load for us to carry. So I realize I've been asking a lot of questions here, but there's just two more questions. First of all, do we really want ultimate Christmas rest? Is there something lacking? Do we truly want the ultimate peace and contentment? So, if that's the case, then the second question is, what is it that we've been working so hard for? Why is it that we're so worn out? what is this need that we have that is causing us to seek rest for our souls? What's missing in our search for calmness? I think the answer to all these questions that I've been asking is clear. And we can find that answer by looking at the first three words of verse 28. In the book of Matthew, chapter 11, Jesus Christ says, "Come to me. Come to me." Jesus is extending an open invitation to all those who will hear and listen to his voice. Only when we see Jesus as dying on the cross for our sins, only then we can lay that ultimate spiritual burden of trying to justify ourselves before God, of trying to prove our worthiness before him. Only when we relinquish that weight that is on our shoulders, that weight of trying to earn our own righteousness, of trying to earn our own right standing before God, only then, when we give up trying to convince him that our worthy deeds should lead to our own salvation, only then can we find that eternal peace and restfulness that we've been looking for. So I close with asking, where are you looking for calmness? Where do you find peacefulness in expectation of finding rest? Is it in power? Is it in prestige? Maybe purpose? Or is it in material things or financial security? Whatever it is, the Bible makes it clear that only with the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the cross, only then can we find true rest, a lasting rest, and a deep, sought-after peace that leads to a sense of true calmness. And finally, once again, we look at verse 30 of this passage. Jesus says, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." So when we follow Jesus in service to him, we serve him willingly, and we are no longer enslaved to the things of this world, things that so easily burden us, things that weigh us down. But instead, we are tied to Christ as we denounce our spiritual depravity, our spiritual poverty, and by turning to the grace of God, we give our lives back over to him, and then and only then can we find true and permanent and eternal peace with God. So, dear Lord, help us to do that, to follow you and be a true disciple of yours, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.